In the Gospel of John, as we have been looking, may I go to verse 23, 24, and 25. Now we did this. I'm going to do it again to give us a second shot at it so you can get it. But I'm going to read it so that it's fresh in your mind and mine. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles, plural, which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So, in verse 23, they were believing. And in their believing, God was the Lord Jesus Christ at the Passover at that time, not only turned the money table upside down and everything in the courtyard, but he did many miracles, signs, wonders. He did them. So here's the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and all kinds of things are going on, and he's doing one thing after another of healings and who knows what. God knows. Wow. And so they're all taken up. He was very public, what he did in the courtyard. Everyone in Jerusalem, all 2.5 million or whatever of them, would know. Boy, what happened in the courtyard and what the Lord Jesus Christ did, turning out all the money changers, etc. They also would know in the 7 days all of the miracles that were taking place. He was gaining the public attention, having public attention in what he did. And they were believing. And we share together, verse 24, but the Lord Jesus did not commit. And the word commit is the same word as the word believe in verse 23. He did not believe. He did not rest upon. He did not rely upon. He did not commit himself. He did not entrust himself to them. And over and over and over again, as he was doing miracle after miracle, and as things were happening imperfect, he was going and doing it and doing it and doing it. And every time he would never, no matter who said what, who approved what, applauded what, it didn't make any difference. He would not give himself personally to them. He would not give his person over believing, resting upon, relying upon them. He would not do that. And the reason he did not do that in verse 24 and verse 25 is because he knew the heart. He needed not that any man, verse 25, that anyone, anywhere, anyhow, should testify of him. He needed not anyone to confirm or honor him. God is God, the Creator. And without the creation that he did, God is still God. And with the creation, he is still God. He need not prove, confirm, affirm anything, anywhere. And we're wrong. We got, God, you've got to do this so that I'll believe. Now, God doesn't have to do anything for you to believe. Hebrews 11:6, but he that cometh to God must believe that he, two little words, he that cometh to God must believe that he what? He is. In the beginning, God. That's your starting point. If you have to play with it, you're going to miss out. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to Colossians. Colossians and chapter 2. Now remember the word to believe. Now what? To believe, to rest on the wonderful person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they needed to do that. They were not doing that. They were resting, and remember we shared that last time so that you would see it. He went all the way through. What? He said, you believe because of the signs and wonders. You believe because I feed you. You believe I do miracles and make you better. Your whole relationship to me, I'm absent in it. What I do and provide, I'm there. But personally, I'm missing. I'm not involved. I'm not involved, even though you believe. Are you the Messiah? Remember, we did all this in Matthew 16. Not only later, what did he say? They're still talking about it. He said, who do men say that I am? And some say you're Jeremiah, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're a prophet. But who do you say I am? And they didn't know. The disciples. And Peter would say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God had to say to them all sitting there, Peter didn't say that because he was intellectually understanding it. God the Father gave him those words and he spoke them. So now, here they are, they're all around, they believe, but they don't believe. And thus, picking up, if I can, Colossians chapter 2. God, what were they missing? You know, as many as received him, John 1:12, you don't have to turn there, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Got to receive him. All right? Simple. Take a glass of water. You eat pizza. You receive someone at the door. All kinds of things. And especially when you go inside, you receive things into your body. And people can receive a bad guy, the demon, if they would. But you can't receive another human being. Can't do that. But the Spirit of God said we're to receive our Lord Jesus Christ into his person into our person. And thus Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now we received him simply by faith, believing. We were resting in who he is, relying, fully convinced. Not about our healing and not about our health and not about our diet and not about our poverty or our riches. We're resting, giving ourselves over to him who is able to save us to the uttermost. He's the perfect Savior to do the perfect sacrifice of himself. And he's the perfect substitute for us. And he perfectly satisfies all of the righteous demands of God. And we're going to put our whole trust, reliance, fully, completely on him. Now, as you did that to get saved, so live. Verse 6. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Exercise your daily life as simply as that. And, verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Not in yourself, not in the things, how things are going. You're going to be rooted. You're going to let the tree, the plant, get roots, like spring, down into the ground. And if it doesn't get roots into the ground, the next storm, wind, rain, whatever, will blow it away. It's only safe when it locks its roots down into the ground. A person, why didn't you commit yourself to them? Because they were not being rooted in who I am. They're being rooted in what I do. Not who I am. And therefore, I do not commit myself to them. Now, having said that, and we want to be, they want to be rooted and grounded as a believer, and that's what you want to be, so that you aren't wavering. That's why people change positions and all kinds of things, because they aren't rooted. If truth is rooted in the God of truth, then the tree of truth will not move. But every bit of thing that you think you understand that isn't locked into God's person is movable, isn't it? I think this about the verse, and then next week you think that about the verse. And then you don't even think about the verse. How can we do that? How can we do that with the Bible? Because we aren't rooted in the person of God who said it. And therefore it's movable. And God, you have to help us. So now, having said that, and that believing to be, they were being, as we said, seeing as we shared it last time, seeing is believing. And that's the easiest of all your different senses, remember. The most sense, sight, ears, nose, touch, taste, smell. The one that's most easily deceived are your eyes. Your eyes are the most easy to deceive. That's why magic goes so well. Magic, magicians, you know, I forget the guy's name, not Houdini, but someone else. Houdini never did an airplane. You know, they put an airplane, a big airplane, and the guy does, and the airplane disappears. I mean, that's a feat, I got to tell you. And the airline's concerned. And there it is. Wow! Magic. What you see. What you see, easily tricked. Therefore, God, we're seeing signs, wonders, miracles, food, all the different things. Wow. Now, over if you would please, remember now, over to the Gospel of John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. And you would note, remember in John chapter 2, verse 24, we looked at the word he would not, did not, commit, believe, give himself to them. They were doing it for a surface kind of relationship. He would not do that. He could not do that. So now when you ride down in the light of all those miracles he did, there's a man who was there, obviously, Nicodemus, chapter 3, and in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles, signs, wonders that thou doest, except God be with him. So Nicodemus stood there in the Passover and witnessed to Potter all of it. Wow! And so he came by night because of all these signs and wonders. Over to chapter 4 again, just for a moment. In chapter 4. And you would remember, verse 45. And when he was come, 4:45, when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem. They were witnesses, they were there at the Passover, at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Skipping down, there was Cornelius, you know, went, the centurion, in verse, a certain nobleman, verse 47, and when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him, the nobleman, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But they believe, but they don't believe. They're believing, but not on him, not who he is. They're believing in what he could do, a miracle worker, a signs and wonder, could do signs and wonders, all kinds of things. Now, and we shared together last time that Satan, here's all the easy, seeing is believing. And we shared together in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, what? That Satan comes along And he uses signs and lying wonders. He's an angel of light. His ministers are ministers of righteousness. His our apostles are apostles of Christ. That's how he's coming. He isn't coming with dark, ominous terror. You're coming like that. He's coming in. It looks good. Everything looks good. It looks all right. That's what he's doing. Deception. He's using seeing as believing. You're going to believe the signs, the wonders, and the person, and wow, it must be true. It must be right. It must be of God, but not so. Now, and in the light of that, we shared together the signs and the lying wonders found where? In the days coming up in the tribulation, how is the devil going to succeed with the Antichrist with signs and lying wonders? And you remember, if you would, well, you may want to turn there for exercise, over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And in chapter 2. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you pick up in verse 10. I'll read verse 9 so you get a little of the context. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, not righteousness, but unrighteousness, in them that are perishing, present tense, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They don't want to be saved. They want a whole lot of things. But they don't want to be saved, though. They don't mind God, and wonderful, we have God. I got that out of the way. And I got God out of the way. So I answered that one as person. So I have God. I have my religion. I have this. I have that. And you would know, they're perishing. And you know that if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3:16, you should not, what? Perish, but what? Have everlasting life. But they are. Why are they not? Why aren't you going to commit to them? They don't have life. They have a relationship that's based on church. I go to Christian. I'm a Christian as opposed to a cultist, as opposed to a communist. I'm a Christian, and I'm Jesus. That doesn't make you saved, but there are people sitting, preaching, in and out. We have it all over the place. The devil, the system, our flesh is very, very active. Now, having said that, and they were believing, but they were not believing. They were looking to God, but not looking to God as they should. Now, so they were trusting God, but they weren't trusting God. They were relying upon God, but they weren't really relying upon God. And thus, dear friend, in the process of all of that, God was dealing with their heart. God was dealing with the Lord's heart, perfect man. And we read in John 2:25, he did not need in any way, shape, or form a positive or a negative testimony, someone, somehow, something to bear witness of who he is. To have the relationship to say, I validate, I confirm that this person is who he is. God, you are God in Christ. God didn't need that from anybody, anywhere, anyhow. So you want to have that clear. So, well, no one speaks about him. No one needs to speak about him, and no one is going to speak about him in the way that they should. What is the spirit of Antichrist? The spirit of Antichrist says what? We believe the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He's a wonderful person and all of that and everything. Wow, he loves us, gave himself for us. But, 1 John chapter 2, is he God? Antichrist denies the person who died to be God. And that's the issue. Always the issue. is that one God? Well, no, he's a nice person. He's wonderful. We love him. We worship him. Is he God? No. No, not that far. Not that far. Prophet, maybe. But not God. A Messiah. For the Jews, a Messiah would be a man. But he's more than a man. He's God. So now, having said that, would you take a little moment with me, if you would? Remember the word to testify, to prove, to bear witness, to bear testimony, to give a personal and direct relationship that you have with something or someone, and you can bear witness to it. He would not take any witness from anybody, anywhere, anyhow. Why? Because they didn't. Their witness was a lousy witness. So over, to see that a little bit. Over, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. Why didn't he receive their witness? John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, may I pick up, please, in verse 32. There is another, 5:32, that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Now that wasn't true to the people that were looking at him after all the miracles. But the Lord Jesus said, there is someone who I look to, and I will go and commit myself to him. His witness is true. I can't commit myself to them because their witness is not true. But I can commit to him because his witness is true. It validates what? That I am who I am. I am the Word become flesh. I am God. I represent God. I bring all of creation, all of the everything, all of the infinite infinitude, the endlessness, using our English word, of God. You bring it all into focus in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the babe born in Bethlehem of Judea. His witness is true about me. Now, verse 33. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not, N-O-T, I receive not the testimony, witness, there's your word, I receive not the testimony from man. No, I don't. But these things I say that you might be saved. Why are you helping us, God? Why are you helping us with all this? Why couldn't we just sort of live in sort of ignorance and stupidity and just travel along and everyone knows? They either bear witness to you or they don't. If they don't, too bad. Verse 35, the Lord said, man, he, John the Baptist, he was a burning. His heart was a zeal, full of zeal and fire and a shining light. His life lit up the darkness. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. You received John's witness. John's witness wasn't about me. It was telling you needed to know him. That's what John's witness was doing. It was telling the people that it was needful for the Jews to repent, or else they wouldn't recognize the king and his kingdom among them, and they wouldn't recognize him. So now in verse 35, he is a burning and shining light. Verse 36, But I don't need John's witness isn't for me. John's witness is for the Jews. There is one true that bears witness of me. Verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness, there's your verb, to witness, testify. They bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, verse 37, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. The Lord Jesus said, I commit myself, I rest my person in his person. I can't do it with the humans, but I can do it with him. God, you totally looking, you, I'm resting in who you are, and you're looking at the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing your wonderful person in him. And that is real, right, straight across the table. True, true, truth. What they do will be deceiving. But what you do, God, the Father, that is true. I commit myself to you, God. Now watch. Verse 37. As the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his face. And you have not heard his word you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. You don't believe. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. But they didn't search the scriptures. Chapter 8 and in verse 12. 8 and 12. Picking up. And then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record, witness of thyself. Thy record is not true. But the Lord Jesus said, My record I confirm. I am who I am. I will not give it. Commit myself to them. And listen what they just said. What the people thought. Verse 13, Thou bearest record, you're telling us you are who you are. Thy witness, thy record is not true. See? They didn't believe. They said, well, we believe, but we don't believe. That's the trouble. He wouldn't give himself to them. Hang on. They wouldn't do it. Now, verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record, witness of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. I am quietly locked into God, being God, all that he is and all that he's done. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am my Father that sent me. Verse 17, It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am, verse 18, I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. I and my Father are one. Sufficient. I need no other. I need no other from anyone anywhere. How do you know Jesus is God? How do you know this? How do you know that? God said, I don't need any. I'm going to give the word, and people should believe on who I am. If they don't, they're going to believe everything? Have church, religion, all kinds of things that they're going to lock onto, that they're going to feel good about? But they're missing the person of who I am. They're not locked in to who I am. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, God in his wonderful, wonderful way has given creation so that angels, as we shared last time, can have a learning exercise about God. And so humans, what are humans? Angels ought to be knowing, and humans ought to be showing. Humans ought to be showing God in them. Angels could look and learn about God. Now, having said that, dear friend, over to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. Picking up, if I can, in verse 26. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the Ten Commandments are inside. This is outside. The covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. I would like to read somewhere through here for you, but I only will find against you. Why? They had everything. They had all of the wonderful 40 years of food and clothing and miracle, and didn't need any miracles. God just kept them. One miracle every day. Wow. So now, skipping down, verse 28. Gather unto me all the elders of the tribes and the officers, and I will speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record, bear witness against them. Verse 29, for I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Chapter 32 and in verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them, said God. I will see what their end shall be. Why? For they are a very froward, it means to turn aside from right and good and truth, being very, very crooked, perverse, corrupted. They are a corrupted, crooked generation, children in whom is no faith. You have to remember that, because you say, well, they must have been super duper. No, they weren't. And God was gracious in their conquest of the land. If you think they were all rolling, poly believers, they weren't. They weren't. See, God is going to honor himself, whether the world likes it or doesn't like it. God is going to be God, period. And you ought to be, I ought to be, most thankful that God is going to maintain his wonderful character and conduct in a world that's topsy-turvy and in trouble. Now, having said that, oh, and remember, they had no heart, Deuteronomy 5:29. They needed to have a heart. So they had a commitment, but the commitment was conditional. Conditional. As long as Moses was there, they had to toe the mark, because Moses represented God in such a way, his authority, that they wouldn't dare. You know what happened when they made the golden calf when he was gone, and he came back down, and that took care of the golden calf and a whole lot of other things. So we don't want to mess around with Moses, but when Moses goes, there's no one to stop us. The problem, we're free. If your heart was right, you would have stayed right in line. But it wasn't in your heart. That's the trouble. You need another miracle worker, another sign, wonder, feeder, help, and you're back to the system. You use the system. The system seemed to have abandoned you when Moses died, and now we're going to go and produce and have another attempt at doing whatever. So we're going to try to satisfy our needs religiously to survive, to succeed, and we're going to have approval approval of humanity. Humanity wants approval, no question. And thus the commitment, the believing, the believers believing, is governed by their commitment, their understanding. How much do you believe? To what extent do you believe? Oh, I believe Jesus is God and I believe the Bible. But that doesn't save you. Are you resting like the tree, the roots, in his person? That's what saves you. Wow. The Lord wouldn't give himself to them. And Moses, you're already telling us that Israel didn't do very well. You remember in John chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. And, well, why not? John chapter 6. John in chapter 6. And would you please note, John 6, and in 66, which you're familiar with. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Because, you see, they didn't mind following him. Goodies, food, healing, power. The Roman, didn't have to worry about Roman soldiers. You didn't have to worry about being arrested. Just stay right in the group, and you'd be protected. But. When he said, listen, all of that, guys, isn't the issue. You need to have a unique personal relationship to me personally. And thus, you'll remember in verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, you got to have that personal relationship. He said unto them, does this offend you? And it did. Why couldn't you give me a Jesus that I can accept? A gospel that I can accept. A God that I can accept. And you give me a... I know people, and I don't know. I say, what's wrong? You got wonderful truth. I don't want that God. I don't want to know that God. That God, and you'll catch it in just a sec, that God demands. Look over in John chapter 6 and verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter, verse 68, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Verse 69, and we believe, and are sure, not about your healing and not about something else. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that. We need to lock it in. But that's where we are. Are you looking to get more food? Are you looking to get your taxes paid? We're looking to you, God. And that was what kept them in there. And that's why God could do something. Because their heart was looking to his person, not to his abilities. Thus, in the light of that, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'm going to try in a very short time to run this together for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Would you please note in verse 12, 10 and 12. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, they became the standard, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise or have no understanding. Now, that we don't want to be like that, that we're all our standards and our comparisons of what is acceptable and good and bad, right and wrong, and we're all right or we aren't all right, based on what? Based on who? Verse 18. For not he that commendeth, that's the word down in verse 12, for not he that commendeth, to recommend, to set together, place together, to commend, to recommend another person. For not, verse 18, for not he that commendeth himself. He recommends, I recommend myself. I recommend myself. No, not that way. Not that way. No, what way then? What way? What way? But whom, not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth is commending, present tense. If God doesn't put his stamp on it, I don't care who, what, you could be a bishop, a cardinal, a canary. I don't care who you are, where you are, what status or state you have in this life. If God doesn't commend you, you got nothing. Nothing. And it will all be vanity. You could be president of the United States, king of England, queen. You've got nothing. Wood, hay, and stubble. I've got a PhD in something. I don't care if you got three PhDs. You got nothing apart from him. Nothing. Whom the Lord commendeth. So the Lord Jesus couldn't commend them. He couldn't commend them. They weren't resting in who he was. They were resting in what he could do, etc. So God, the Lord, God the Father commends the Son. The Son commends the Father. Why not? They're in agreement. The believer needs to be in agreement with God. That's right. So now, having said that, and you remember our Lord Jesus in his perfect humanity, what do you know? You know in 1 Corinthians 1 and 29 in that, you have to turn there. No flesh shall glory in what? In his presence. Would our Lord Jesus Christ glory in the flesh? He couldn't glory in the flesh because he's perfect man. Couldn't. Cursed, Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Would he trust in man as perfect man? It's cursed be anyone that does that. Why would he do it? Why am I going to do it? Why as a believer? I'm not going to trust in comparing ourselves with ourselves. We're not wise. It's a stupid thing. You got churches in that. What are we trying to do? We're going to do a thing in it. We're special. As a believer, you are special. Aren't you? No. Does God want you to be special? Is God special? Aren't you supposed to be special? We walk around, well, I'm just like all the rest of them. No, you're a child of God, a son of God. Are you or are you not? That's what you're supposed to be. Aren't you? Aren't you supposed to be a son? You know, if I was a son, who could I be the son of that's around? Well, no one. But if I had a prestigious, what happens if I was the, I won't say that. What happens if I was the son of a great person? A great person. Buffett. He had a lot. I need someone with a lot. Gates, Buffett. Who has a lot? Do they have a lot? I'm the son of Warren Buffett. So I go around in McDonald's. McDonald's says, have you got a quarter? I said, I'll buy the dumb place. See? I'm a son. I know I'm a son. Are you a son of God? A child of God? Think like it. We aren't comparing ourselves with anyone. Where our standard is whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ, that's our standard. And that's where we should stay, and that's where we are. We are that. It's a wonderful thing. A wonderful, and the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for what? Our commitment to him, so that he can be committed to whom? To you, dear friends. You understand? It's a wonderful thing. Being a Christian isn't some stupid religious activity that is better than some other religious activity. It's a wonderful thing to be a child. You understand that? I wish I could yell at you enough. Well, God makes a wonderful commitment. God the Son has made a wonderful commitment to God the Father. The Father sent the Son to fulfill the will of God. Not my will, but what? Thy will be done. I must go to Jerusalem. True. It is the will of God. I'm committed. The Father is committed to the Son. And the Son is committed to the Father. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Jesus said, I can't find someone to commit, that I can be committed to like that. I need someone. How can that be so? Because when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, God the Father and God the Son, God the Father has made a commitment to God the Son. God the Son has made a commitment to God the Father for all of His good, wonderful, caring, personal, saving grace. And when you receive Him as your personal Savior, you are to be believing not in what He can do for you, some tangible thing. You are to be resting on, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ personally, and thou shalt be what? Acts 16:31. Thou shalt be saved. Personal. Nothing to do with what you do for me. Work, home, school, play, family, friends, enemies. No. It's a wonderful thing, God. It's a wonderful thing. And you've made a wonderful commitment. A wonderful commitment to be who you are. Over in I got off. I'm trying to yell at you or something. I'm trying to help you. Don't lose out on it. Don't get hung up in comparing yourself with others and, well, we're all right. Forget that. God isn't looking at you to see who you compare yourself with. God's looking to you to see if you're resting your personal life in His personal person. That's what He wants to know. Are you totally dependent and sufficient in mine? Are you satisfied with me? Said God. You know? I'm satisfied. I don't need anything else. Over in closing, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if I can. Appreciate your patience, and it's a wonderful thing that John 2, I could not commit myself to them. Wonderful truth. You never hear it. Whoever wants to understand it? Well, because if I really understand it, I realize that I got to be careful that I'm not one of those believers that are just surface. I want to have God. I want to be locked in. I want my roots like we did in Colossians. I want my roots down in the ground. So when the wind and the storm blows, boy, are they locked in. They're locked in. That's what I want to be, God. I want to be locked in, not to me, but to you, God. You can always and will always be who you are. So, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We have our word, another word to look at. And you'll notice, for which cause, verse 12, for which cause, said Paul, he's about to die, remember, under Nero. For which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Why is that? For I know whom I have believed. I'm resting in His person, the wonderful person of Almighty God in Christ Jesus in my heart. And am persuaded that He is able to keep, to guard that which I have committed. The word commit, deposit, to deposit in the bank, to deposit something with somebody else for safekeeping. Paul, what have you done? You're about to die. Are you worried? No. I have committed, the end of verse 12, I have committed unto Him, I've deposited unto Him my soul and all that I am, my situation and all that it is about and not about, all the circumstances and conditions. I commit to you, God. I'm committed for you to be who you are in me. And my whole society, with all of its bumpiness and its problems and making it so difficult to be a doctor, lawyer, policeman, chief, whatever. How hard it is. The system, if it would just line up with rightness and goodness, then we could all give ourselves to it with more zest. But when you take away all of that, there's no incentive because it doesn't work out. No one else cares whether it's right or it's wrong. God cares. And so, God, what are we going to do? We're going to give ourselves to you, total, body, soul, and spirit, God. To you, God. I know whom I believe. To you. I don't care whether you do anything. You don't have to do anything, God. Just be to me who you are. Be to me who you are on account of all that you have done for me to save my soul and make me whole. God, be to me, God, any way you wish. And I'll be pleased. I commit. I could never do it, God, apart from your Son. I commit myself to you, my Father, with all my heart. And when I do, you have made a commitment to my Savior. And in my Savior, I have your personal commitment. I have it in the person of Jesus Christ. See? I don't want you to commit yourself to my stupidity or my ignorance. But, oh, you are committed to me in your Son. True. Huh? That's a wonderful thing. I wish I could help you. God and Father, God, deal with us, please. What do we know? Nothing. So deal with us, God. So help us, please, in every area. God, we owe you. We owe you. And for those who do not believe in their heart that thou hast raised, that thou art risen from the grave, they have not received your wonderful person into their life, God, make it so. May they be a ready vessel to receive your wonderful grace and person in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you very, very much for loving us, for your personal, endless, infinite concern. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps you could sing a stanza, please. Give me thine heart, 5, 6, 4. We'll just sing one stanza. Thank you.